Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Let's get into this new series. It's called Right on the Money. I know, sensitive topic, but I think it needs to be said that if the Lord is Lord of every area, He needs to be Lord of our finances as well. Amen. So as we get into this message, I just want us to be upstanding. Let's be upstanding in reverence for the reading of God's word. And we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 6. I'll read it for you today. It says, "No man or no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Everybody say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm alive today." Father, I thank you for the opportunity to bring your word to your servants here, your children. And I thank you, God, that that your spirit would fill me so that I can communicate clearly and do justice to the subject around your word today. So we pray, Holy Spirit, just for your guidance through the scriptures. Illuminate the scriptures for us. Help us, Lord God, to hear from heaven, and that you would come and speak to us regarding especially this topic of money. We thank you that you are Lord of every area of our lives, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Can you say hi to three people around you before you take a seat? Again, this series is called Right on the Money. I didn't introduce myself for anybody who's new or watching this. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor at Every Nation Brisbane. This is one of our two locations. This is our Logan location, our Kupuru central location, met earlier today. But I'm really delighted to be here in Logan City to bring the message, the word of God today. Again, the title of this series is called Right on the Money. And the title of my message today, if you're taking notes, you can write this at the top of your page or on your notes app. It is two masters, one throne. Two masters, one throne. I wanted to ask you this question just to start us off today. And the question is, did any of you look in the mirror today? How many of you looked in the mirror? Only five people. The rest of you, you should have. Why is it then that, you know, like for some people, let me ask you this, okay? For those of you who looked at the mirror, who looked in the mirror, how many of you liked what you saw? Come on. I'm not going to name names. Yes, you should. You're made in the image of God. But, you know, like sometimes we don't like what we see in the mirror because the mirror reflects our actual state in terms of what it looked like, right? In different times in my life, I've been involved in, you know, playing in bands. And you know, when I would play in a band, there would be a dressing room backstage. And you'd always notice that there would be a huge mirror. Any of you seen these mirrors? And these mirrors have lights around them. And the reason why those lights are super bright is to show every nook and cranny on your face. Because, you know, like, everybody looks amazing in the dark, but it's when the lights are on and you can see the mirror, it's like, you know, because the reality kicks in, right? And so, is it the mirror's fault that you look like that, right? Like we blame the mirror. Oh, you naughty mirror, you silly mirror. You know, it's your fault, mirror. Is it really the mirror's fault, or is the mirror just merely echoing what is in your appearance? Now, many of us may see the scriptures this way. You know, I often have the comment that, you know, sometimes when I read the Bible, I'm affected by the Bible reading me. You know, sometimes, how many of you have been there, right? You read the Bible, you're like, oh, ouch. Because the Bible acts like a mirror, right? I'm reminded of James chapter 1, verse 23. It says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like a man who looks intently in his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and then he goes away at once and forgets what he looks like. The Bible is a mirror for our spirits. And, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes there's different aspects of how mirrors can operate. And it's not necessarily that reflective piece of glass or even the Bible, because the Bible is like a spiritual mirror. But how many of you know we have physical mirrors as well? Now, please don't get offended with this next image I'm going to show you, which is another form of a mirror, and it's this mirror here. Right? How many of you hate this mirror? The mirror is the scale. I can see many hands going up now. You know, you get on the scale and it's like, you know, the one that talks back, you get on the scale one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. You know, like, it, because it reflects back to you exactly what it feels like. As the reading on the scale is, help me, you know, like when you get on the scale. But the reason why the scale reflects back is because it's giving you an accurate picture of the weight that's on there. So is it the scale's fault, or is it the Bible's fault, or is it the mirror's fault that our own state is put on display? Now, you may be asking the question, well, what does that have to do with finances? Well, you know, if you meet with any financial advisor, the financial advisor, before you go off into asking the questions, which are usually steps 2 to 200, which are like, okay, where should I invest? Should I put my money in crypto? Should I put my money in shares? Should I put my money, should I invest in this car or this car? Should I put my money into real estate and all of this? Like, many times we want to skip to step 4, but we haven't done the assessment of what our actual finances look like, right? How many of you have heard of this word? I think the French word, budget. I'm just kidding. It's called a budget, right? For those of you who grew up in New Zealand, there's this place called Denny's. And Denny's is the only 24-hour restaurant that you go to where, you know, you can eat some nasty microwave steak and stuff like that. And you go into Denny's, and I would be always eating the budget breakfast, but because I was ashamed of my order, I would call it the breakfast de budget. But it's the budget breakfast because I was on a student budget at the time, right? But the budget acts like a financial mirror. It looks at the way that your financial condition is in and then deems how you should spend and how you should save and how you should give your finances. Have you taken an assessment, a true assessment of your financial condition? And you may be asking, well, why are we talking about this when we're in church? Because I think that's a very good question. And I'm going to explain this in just a moment. But let's go straight to the scripture, shall we? Matthew 6, verse 25 says this, no one can serve two masters. How many of you know that to be true? Right? You can't serve two masters. You can only have one master. For either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, it's interesting, right? Like, because why of all things? It makes obvious sense. How many of you agree? It makes obvious sense that, you know, you can't have two masters. That makes logical steps. Logical sense, I should say. But why would Jesus go specifically after money? Why wouldn't he say that you cannot have two masters, you cannot serve both God and career, or you cannot serve both God and family? Because these are good things, these are blessings, but they can also be idols as well. Why doesn't he highlight those things instead of saying it's specifically God and money? Now, I want to address this too, because the actual Greek word for money here is not just money. It's the word that describes a spiritual condition called mammon. And mammon is the love or the idolatry of money, the infatuation with money, where we exist solely for money. And this is where the rubber meets the road, because if we say that we're not about that money, when, you know, like I'm a fan of hip hop, and the hip hop I grew up around, it was all about the money, man, right? Like everything's about pursuing that cash. Boom, boom, get money. Boom, 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 boom. None of y'all know about that because you listen to Christian music, but that's all right. And that's good. Stay there. But mammon is this pursuit or this worship of finances. Remember what the definition of worship is. I brought this up many times in the past. Romans 12 verse 1 says, do not be conformed. Before that it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifice, for this is your spiritual worship. So you can tell what a person worships by what they're willing to sacrifice for. And if you're solely going to sacrifice for the pursuit of money, whether it's sacrificing through decisions that you make, your time, your effort, solely in the pursuit of money, then you've got to ask the question, what is your master? Is it really God or is it really money? Let me ask you this question, okay? Just to kind of unwrap this a little bit more. How many of you moved from another country to Australia, moved to Brisbane, all right? Okay, most of our hands are actually going up. Now think about the reason why you moved here. Be honest, and I'm not going to ask for an answer. Just let this sit and ruminate in your spirit. How many of you would say you moved here to Australia for quote-unquote better opportunities, and those opportunities revolved around money? Now, that's not to say it's wrong, but then you've got to ask yourself too, was God the one that authored your steps towards the pursuit of that opportunity? That's a real question, right? That's a real... Now you're getting personal now. But I think if we're really to answer who is our master, right? Who's the master of your spirit? Then we must ask the question, like, what dictates the manner of how we make decisions in our lives? Let me ask you and put it to you this way. Does money serve you or do you serve money? This is the reality of the question. Now, money in and of itself is not evil. It's just the matter of how your heart utilizes those finances. See, money is a mere amplification of what's in your spirit. So if you're a stingy-hearted person, you'll be a stingy person with your money. If you're a generous person and you've got a generous spirit, you'll be generous with finances. If you're wise in spirit, you'll also be wise with finances. If you're stupid, then you will be stupid with the money, right? And you'll take that $96,000 that you were talking about and say, hey, I got us at McDonald's after this, right? Not a good decision. But does money serve you or do you serve money? Money is what we call an amoral thing, entity. An amoral entity means that it doesn't possess necessarily a moral characteristic. But it only possesses that characteristic once it's utilized for whatever purpose it's used for. For instance, right? How many of you like dogs? Oh, my wife is here. I shouldn't have brought this question up. I heard that, yay. Right? How many of you like cats? Oh, you got more? You're cat ladies here. How many of you prefer cats over dogs? Put your hands up. Okay, we've got a few of you. Okay, so like, how many of you know that water is good for you, right? And so water is not moral or immoral, it's amoral. It's just an entity without any moral characteristic. A cat, whether you know it or not, it's neither good nor evil, it's just a cat. But if I took that cat and I drowned it in the water, what I am doing therefore... I didn't do this, okay? I'm just using this as an example, is that I've utilized two things that were intended for good use, but I am now using them for evil. How you use money is the same way, right? Money doesn't possess any good or evil within it, but it amplifies the character that's in your spirit. It is a terrible God, but it is a good servant or slave. It's an actual thing that you can utilize to worship God and glorify him with. And the reason why Jesus mentions money is because he knows that above all else, money is the thing that will attach itself to our hearts. It was the same thing back there 2,000 years ago as it is right now. Money is the love of money. Paul would teach his spiritual son, Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. Loving money. Oh, money. I love you, money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, and about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So what Jesus is highlighting here is that, like, through money, we're blessed, right? He highlights these three blessings, and they're good things. But it's when we idolize them or we have an incorrect perspective on them. Check it out. It's food, what we eat, our health, our bodies, and then clothing. If you want to alliterate it so you can remember it, let's say food, fitness, and fashion, right? These three things are blessings from God, but they can also be points of anxiety. Oh, where am I going to eat afterwards? Maybe some of you are thinking that right now, right? Like, Pastor Nelly, can you wind this up? Because I'm hungry. And my favorite restaurant at Sunnybank is going to close. Make it quick. Come on. Your health, right, becomes a point of concern, a point of worry. And your clothing. When you don't see these things as gifts from God, you actually have an incorrect perspective of these things that are blessings in your life. Take a deep breath, everybody, right now. Just take a deep breath. Exhale carefully, not over your neighbor's shoulder, especially if you didn't brush. And the reason why I ask you to take that breath is to help you realize that that breath was a gift from God. You didn't have to breathe that breath. We take it for granted, right? We take for granted that we have this breath. Can I dare to say this? We live in the state of Queensland, one of the most blessed places in the whole world, but we could take this place for granted. You live, the mere fact that you're here today means that many of you, we're in the top 10 in terms of the percentage of people that earn a certain level of income and are able to exist and live in a society like Australia. You are blessed. But we can often look at what doesn't exist and hunger after it in a lustful sort of fashion rather than seeing that God is the source, not your job. Not that little cryptocurrency that you jumped on to hopefully make it, you know, like, oh, maybe I'll hop on Catcoin because Catcoin will, you know, elevate and then I'll buy the dip and it'll go up and then it goes nowhere, right? And what we're seeing right now is the failure of all gods, not just money, but all other gods except for the God of the Bible. Every single god has failed. You put your faith in politicians, politicians are failing. You put your faith in world economics and what's happening in the Ukraine right now. And I praise God for, you know, the example of Pastor Pedro. You know, just so you know, Pastor Pedro is not just a champion leading our church in Madrid, but he's also leading the charge in the Ukraine as well. That's come out of here. But he's in a place, right, because he's serving a God who never fails, in a place where it seems like the political race has failed, right? In Russia. And so because of what's happening in Russia, oil prices are up. How many of you know, like when you fill your car now, it feels like you can't pay for anything else anymore? For those of you who actually eat salad, when you go buy a lettuce now, it's like you have to take a loan before you buy a lettuce. Like we didn't grow up this way, but that's the state of the economy that we're in. How many of you know money is failing us? But we serve a God who never fails, right? Throughout this pandemic, we've been in this pandemic 2.5 years, and our God has never failed you. But yet we still crave money. Like with Jesse J, it's all about the money, money, money. Like we're just trying to pursue cash, money, and it's going to fail you. We serve a God who never fails. So let's continue here, okay? Because I like the way Jesus obviously is the best preacher who ever lived. So I love the examples that he gives here because the examples are the same today. Check this out. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not of more value than they? Consider the birds. My amazing wife, Tina, is here. And, you know, we got married in Singapore. And I praise God that we got married on Sentosa Island on the beach. Because if it was left up to her, where we would get married, we would be married in this place called Jurong Bird Park. And she wanted to get married with all these, I think she had like Shrek, Fiona visions where she would sing this song and all the birds would come and land on her shoulders and her bridle just, oh, and then all come down. And she was like, Nellie, don't you think it would be beautiful if we set our vows to the sounds of birds chirping? I said, I'd rather say my vows to the sound of them deep frying. That's my hope and dream for my wedding. But, you know, like the birds in Jurong in Singapore, very different. Because they, you know, I know it's not really a word, but I'll just use it anyway. It's very romantical. Like when you walk around, the birds are chirping. It's actually a beautiful place if you like birds and you can feed the birds and they're beautiful and they make all sorts of nice, sweet sounds. And then I moved to Australia. What the heck with our birds here, man? You know what I'm saying, right? the first day that we moved into the house that we live in, like we have this tree just outside, and I seriously thought it was a monkey, it was a kookaburra, man. What the heck? It's 5:30, man. And yet that annoying bird, according to the scripture, it says that they neither sow nor reap, and the Heavenly Father feeds them. I want to feed them something, right? If the Lord can take care of those annoying birds, those magpies that cause all the cyclists to wear Whoopi Goldberg helmets, you know? Like back in NZ, we didn't have helmets with like bread ties coming out of them. Like over here in Queensland, you have to wear like these Coolio-looking Fantastic Voyage helmets so that none of the birds come swooping down and hitting you on the head, right? Like none of us grow, but God cares about those birds. If God can take care of those annoying magpies and crows, don't you think he can take care of you? Don't you think that he can take care of your finances? Well, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it. The promise of the Lord is if he is your master, he will take care of you. But you've got to trust in his ways, right? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour of to the span of his life? Like, there's no point in worrying about it. If he's got you, he's got you. There's no point in being anxious about it. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil or spin. Meaning that they don't sew their clothes together. You don't go down to, you know, like the lake by UQ or go down to a body of water where there's like lily pads and you see them going, oh my, we need to sew together our lily pads together. No, like they're just there. They're just being. And in the same way, God is calling you to just be. Just walk in him. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about a thing. Because every little thing is going to be all right. The great theologian Bob said, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory, speaking of King Solomon, the most wise man that ever existed apart from Jesus, in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and thrown into the oven tomorrow, how will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? I love Jesus because he keeps it real. Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious. Turn to somebody. Turn to three people around you. Tell them, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Saying, oh, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Some of you all asking that question right now. What are we going to eat after the service? God's got you. Maybe Pastor Henry's got you too. I don't know. God's got you. See, when we have the wrong perspective of God, we have the wrong perspective of money. What do I mean by that? If your perspective of God is not seen as the provider and you look at your job as the provider, you're going to be stressed out because God is the one who gave you, provided for you that job that you have. You can look at your investments as your provider. But again, as I want to reiterate, the economy around the world right now is suffering and struggling right now, right? And so you're like, oh my, you're anxious about where is the market going? Is it bearish? Is it bullish? Like, what is happening to the market right now? But when you trust that God is the one that authored, so they give you the finances to invest in the first place, then you are not stressed because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Hey, he owns the hills. Like, they are vessels. Your finances are vessels for worshiping God. And God is your source. Therefore, worship him with what you have. The remainder of my message today, I want to highlight 3 points that address how to live with finances without walking in anxiety. And looking at the way the world operates and looking at the way God operates. How many of you today don't want to worry about money? Want to trust in him? All right. It's just Mike and Shy. All right, here we go. Here's what the world says. The world says, YOLO, you only live once, indulge first and save later. Now, this is all from, okay, these 3 points that I'm going to highlight today are all from Dave Ramsey. Those of you who don't know who Dave Ramsey is a financial guru in the United States who is a strong Christian, but has advised so many people, millions of people around the world, in how to use your finances in a God-glorifying manner. His radio show and his video, you can find him on YouTube. You can see that there's so much wisdom in how to execute your finances. Now, whether you may agree or disagree with some of the practices, that's up to you, but he is a man of God, and he's teaching this from the scriptures. And he says here, the world says, YOLO, you only live once, indulge first and save later. Whereas God says, pay yourself by saving, then enjoy the fruits of your labor. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. This is all based on scripture. Proverbs 21, 20 explains the value in saving for a rainy day. It says this, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. And even just to go beyond our own household, but saving can also create financial stability for future generations. Proverbs 13:22 says this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So it's generational thinking with regards to this. Now in the U.S., according to the Federal Reserve, 39% of Americans don't have enough cash on hand to cover a $400 emergency. And more than half of the households couldn't live without their income for just 1 month. Yikes. A lot of Americans definitely haven't prioritized the present over the future. They prioritized the now and not looked with a future view. You may think, oh, that's an American problem. Well, let me bring it home for us here in Australia. Now, I don't want this to sound like a swear word, but the word is afterpay. Afterpay, which is Australia's largest right now, buy now and pay later company. And it's now owned, if you didn't know this, it's now owned by the US company Block and has reported a massive pre-tax loss of $501.9 million as more and more of the instant loan clients have failing to pay their own debts. So the company of which they're borrowing the money is now going into debt. So it's okay to have some fun with your money. But the thing we've got to learn here is as long as you budget for it, then you won't have to worry or be anxious for it. And if you can't afford it, then it's learning to wait. And as long as you pay yourself first and take care of executing with financial wisdom, then you will be able to walk in that stewardship well. Here's one. Are you all ready for this? This is the second one. Second one is, the world says, spend all your money on yourself. There's no way you'll have anything left over. Whereas God says, give 10% off the top and work towards being able to give even more beyond this. See, giving actually exposes our heart actually shows that our heart is not captivated with the idolatry of money. See, giving in the world is not a priority, but it's a priority to God. Actually, one of the greatest things that you can do as a Christian to be a witness to those who don't know God around you is actually to be a giver. He gives, and we in his image should also be giving. Now, let me carry on with what Dave Ramsey says here. I've got it quoted here. Here's the truth about giving. No one gives accidentally. You have to be intentional about it. That means when you budget your money each month, the first thing you should do is set aside 10% of your income for giving, even before you give anything towards savings. That's the instruction of Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with all your first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That's the promise. And Malachi 3, verse 10, it says, God tells those first fruits should be a tenth of what we produce. Lots of people say they don't have enough money to give, but the problem might be that we don't make it a priority. If giving doesn't happen first, the money will never be there. That's why only 5% of adults have given 10% of their income to a church or nonprofit organization. And according to Barna Research, among born-again Christians, only 12% tithe. Crazy. And we wonder why we're worried about money. Sometimes even within churches, we're worried more about money than outside of the four walls of the church. Y'all okay? Y'all okay with this? See, if we don't talk about money in the church, then we keep our people out here in Logan enslaved to a lot of these mentalities. And here's the last one, all right? This one might get you a little bit. And I pray it doesn't, because I pray that our church here will walk in this freedom that we're about to talk about here. It's that D word. The world says debt can be a tool to buy things you couldn't otherwise have, whereas God says debt is bad and there's no such thing as good debt. Now, over the past several decades, debt has been motivated so heavily that many people feel that they can't even survive without it. In fact, the national average personal debt was approximately $48,000 per person. But debt has also forced people to delay or avoid expensive life events like marriage or kids, and it's caused bankruptcy, divorce, and a lot of other messes. You know, apart from sexual impropriety, finances are the number one reason why people that end up in broken marriages, they actually break because of financial debt or financial struggle. In fact, the ratio of household spend to income has more than doubled in 1995 to 2015, going from 104% to 212%, meaning that, okay, you earn this amount of money, but you spend even more money than you actually have. The average household in Australia will spend 212% of their income, putting themselves in further debt. The Bible's clear. Like, it doesn't necessarily command you not to go in debt, but it does. Every time it mentions debt, it's always negative. It always talks about, let me give you a couple examples so you can look them up. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 says, the borrower is a slave to the lender. The borrower is a slave to the lender. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, Paul calls us to pay off all our debts so that the only thing we owe each other is to love them. Now, again, I'm not trying to come at you heavy-handed and say, you know, like if we were in debt, and I know that many of us may be walking in that, but I just want you to know that maybe there's a wake-up call for us to start walking in freedom and start to work our way out of our debt. Can I get at least a little amen on that? Because I don't believe that God has called us to live in debt and generational debt for the rest of our lives. In fact, he wants us to break those chains here in Logan so that we can walk with more freedom and be a blessing to the nations that he's called us to be. And I want to see that for our church here in Logan. I want to see us walk in financial freedom. I knew it'll get heavy in here, Norm. I knew it'll get heavy. It's all right. I'm willing to take it. So that we, you know, hopefully you can sense the love from your pastor tonight, because I want us to walk in this freedom. So the Bible doesn't say that debt, that debt is a sin. Okay, let me be clear with that. But it has nothing good to say about debt, and definitely discourages it. So the risk you accept when you're taking on debt, especially debt that is so great it makes it impossible to take care of, please take God's word seriously on this one and save up to try and pay cash for those things. Do you really need that thing that is being advertised? Do you really need those things, the flash lifestyle, when you know you can't afford it? I'm just going to leave that there, all right? Let's move on. In Matthew 6, verse 33, as I summarize and wind this up tonight, this is the most famous verse in this entire passage, and it says here, but seek first. What does it mean to seek first? It means seek as your number one priority. Seek first the what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, including money, will be added to you. Everything that prefaces from Matthew 5 to this point is all these things. He talks about marriage there. He talks about having enough. He talks about walking with God. He talks about walking not in offense. And he also talks about money. All of these things will be given to you if you trust him and seek first his what? His kingdom. That's interesting, right? Because if you look at the Gospels, if you look at what Jesus mentions in the Scriptures, the number one, well, let me say it this way. The number two topic, like in terms of the thing that he talks about the second most, is actually money. You want to know what the first is? The first thing that he talks about the most is the kingdom. And I think there's a direct correlation with that. In fact, the reason why he brings up money in the context of this is because hopefully you can see that money is a beautiful tool. It's a terrible idol. It's a beautiful tool of how you can worship God in your giving, your saving, and the way you spend. So I want to ask a question that I asked earlier, but rephrase the question and let this sit in your spirit tonight as I take this opportunity to pray for you. And the question is, who is the master of your money? Who is the master of your money? Are you understanding that your money is your servant, there to serve your heart, or does your heart accept the enslavement of money? Are you a slave in the pursuit of money? Now, this is a real question, because if Jesus would highlight this as a specific point to bring up, then I think it's worth us discussing over the next three to 4 weeks together. And I really want us as a church to not be ones that crave and love money, but to understand that the money that we are blessed with, we are blessed to steward to his glory. And so I want to pray for you tonight. I'm going to give us the opportunity to come before him and allow him to check our hearts. I'll just invite us all to bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you're watching online, you'll have the opportunity to jump on Zoom and discuss this with us and pray with us. We would love to pray for you, but let's pray. Father, tonight, we declare as a church that you have our heart, that us as Every Nation Brisbane, we will not bow at the altar of mammon, the love of money. But Lord, we will utilize every resource that you have blessed us with, the relationships, Lord God, our gifts, but especially our finances, to worship you and see your kingdom extended, to raise up future leaders into society, to continue to plant churches all over the nations, Lord God. Father, I believe you're just getting started. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to bow before you and declare that you are our master. You deserve the throne of our hearts. And Lord, we will not be enslaved to money. We will not be enslaved to finances, but we will trust you as our source to provide. And I want to pray for everybody in here. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, maybe some of you are in a situation where you desire to say, you know what, I have been pursuing money, but today I want to make the decision to declare that God is the Lord of my life, that Jesus rules on the throne of my life. And maybe some of you in this room are in a financial situation where you desperately need to see God move mightily. I really believe that the Lord of the breakthrough is in the house today. And he desires to meet you, but he says, if only you will trust me as the master of the throne of your heart, will I move on your behalf. If that's you today and your desire is to shift your focus towards him tonight, I just want you to lift your hands and I want to pray for you right where you are. God, I just pray for these ones who have their hands lifted in this place. Lord, we trust you. We trust you with our finances, Lord God. We trust that you are going to take care of us. Consider the lilies of the field. Consider those birds, Lord God, that are outside our windows every day. Lord God, you take care of them and you are sure to take care of us. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are our provision and our provider, that you are more than enough for us, Lord Jesus. Right now, Lord, we speak to debt in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for provision to take care and eliminate debt in Jesus' name. Father, I want to speak that over the whole area of Logan City. Lord God, over all our people here, Lord, that we would make steps and we would see your favor rise upon us as we commit to walking out of the enslavement of debt in Jesus' name, that we would be able to be blessed to be a blessing, Lord God. So in Jesus' name, you help us, Lord God, break generational chains, break mindsets that keep us enslaved, and help us, Lord God, as a people to walk out in financial freedom so that we can be a blessing to the nations and plant churches and raise up future leaders, Lord God, and Lord, send the next generation on with the baton of financial freedom. We thank you for it. We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Everyone shouted amen. Amen. Come on and give him praise, everybody in this place. Thank you, Lord. All right, take a moment right now. I'm going to give you 3 to 4 minutes just to discuss this question on the screen and take a moment to pray personally if any of you need prayer. And then we're going to worship God and we're going to declare he is Lord over our finances. Amen? All right, take a moment right now.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.